Welcome to the teaching ministry of First United Methodist Church and Pastor Steve Kedon. We offer these messages in the hope that the Word of God will comfort the hurting, confront the comfortable, and create new life in us all. Let us now join together and offer our lives to God in worship. I want to make a special mention during the season of Advent. This is December 1st. Bring the spirit of Christmas to every day, to wake up every morning, to allow God to wake you up each day to that season of Advent. Don't just wait for Sunday morning to say, let's go back to church and see what's going to happen this week. And so the worship committee has for you out here in the chapel area a devotional, The Lord is Near by Henri Nouwen. It's a wonderful devotion. It's just a wonderful way to begin that habit, to set Christmas aside from your normal routine. You know, if you normally get up every morning, you grab a cup of coffee, you get in the shower, you get dressed, and you're off to, you know, create a little bit of space to allow God to enter into your life. And this is a wonderful way. These are free. Not a lot of things that you're going to find in the stores in Walmart or in the grocery stores are going to be free, but God is trying to break into your life and make this a special time of Christmas for you and for your family. When I started thinking about what should we do for Advent, how do we bring that spirit, which you know all so well, You've heard it over the years. You know, how do we bring what is happening through Advent to our daily lives? Instead of just saying, well, we went through the season of Advent and we're looking forward to Christmas, and as soon as Christmas is over, a lot of times people go, phew, I'm glad that's over with. Now we can get back to things as they used to be. We can get back to our routines. We can get back to things that are normal. And yet, when you look at all of the characters that are part of our Advent story, if you are part of that nativity, you find that in each case, God is entering into their lives. He's disrupting their normal routine in order to try to awaken them to something that is even more, even deeper than what they're ready for. We go through Christmas and we kind of get into a habit, into a routine of setting up our trees, getting our gifts ready. On Christmas Day, you go visit everybody, you sing carols. We kind of go through a rhythm, and we don't really make room for God to kind of come in and be a part of what's happening. And so when I began to look at all of the characters that were really changed by Advent, I found that their lives were disrupted in some profound way. And I wondered, as we gather for these 4 weeks, as we prepare ourselves for Christmas, and sometimes we say, well, I know that Jesus is coming, but are you prepared to be disrupted? Are you prepared, or have we put Jesus in that beautiful baby little manger, and we keep him there, under control, under kind of lock and key? Are we ready for the disruption that Jesus is going to bring to our lives? John Maxwell once said, people will change, life will change for you when one of three things begins to happen. First of all, whenever there's enough pain, whenever there is such a need, a desperation, you will begin to change your habits and your routine. You'll begin to look for new solutions. When people learn enough, when they understand the reasons that are necessary for change, and when people have received enough, when they have enough faith to venture out into a new and a profound change in their life. And what I find is, as we go through Advent, each of those three criteria are happening in the people that are part of our story. Now, this morning, we want to begin with perhaps one of the most unlikeliest of Advent characters. He's actually one of the characters that doesn't even, when we talk about nativity, he doesn't even make the cut. We don't really like to talk about him very much because he so disrupts our beautiful narrative that we kind of put him off to the side. And so this morning, as we think about John the Baptist and about his place in our story, we have to think about what is John the Baptist trying to tell us? Why is he part of this beautiful little story? Why part of this whole narrative do we also have to insert a guy that is eating locust and honey and dressed in camel skin? Why do we have to have that character as part of our lives? Because he disrupts our lives in a profound way and tries to awaken us to what God is doing. So this morning we want to gather on this first Sunday and ask if our lives are ready for disruption, whether we're ready to allow Jesus to really come into our lives. This morning we're going to begin with Mark chapter 1, beginning with the first verse. Let us join together as we share what's on the screen. This is God's word for my life in this place and at this time. Today I am a new creation in Christ. I am God's very own, and I know he has a purpose for my life. Now, in Mark's gospel, Mark is considered one of the earliest writers of the four gospels and certainly the earliest of the synoptics. If you look in your bulletin, you're going to have a little outline of introducing you to the gospel of Mark. But when Mark wants to introduce you to the story of Jesus, for you to truly understand what this whole thing, this whole narrative is about, listen to how he begins to explain who Jesus is. The beginning of the good news of Jesus, the Messiah, the Son of God, as it is written in Isaiah the prophet, I will send my messenger ahead of you who will prepare your way. A voice of one calling in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight paths for him. And so John the Baptist appeared in the wilderness, preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. The whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem went out to him. Confessing their sins, they were baptized by him in the Jordan River. John wore clothing made of camel hair with a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locusts and wild honey. And this was his message. After me comes one more powerful than I, the straps of whose sandals I am not worthy to stoop down and untie. I baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. This is the word of God for the people of God. Let us pray. Father God, we give you thanks for this message. We thank you for John. And Father, we just ask that you allow us to be disrupted in our lives and in our routines and in our expectations. In Jesus' name, amen. What was John's message? Why was it so critical that John came to prepare the way? For so many years, for 400 years, there had been silence. And finally, John comes on the scene to prepare the hearts of those that were ready. And yet John, if you are familiar with the Gospels, John was, to say the least, a controversial figure. John invited people to come into a spirit of repentance, to come and experience what God was about to do, that changes were coming, that there were storms on the horizon. Several years ago, I was talking to a man who owned a sailboat, and he had a whole bunch of flags. And he said those flags were things that you would raise to the top of the mast to signal other boats about information. And he shared one that was that black and red square one that introduced that a hurricane was coming, that there was warning signs that were going up. Even though it may be calm and the skies were blue, far out, far beyond the horizon, there were dangers that were approaching. And I think John, in many respects, is introducing that storms are coming. And the question that we have to ask as we even enter the beauty of this sanctuary is, are we ready? Are you really ready for what God is about to do? What happens when God enters our story? What happens when God decides to enter our lives and become part of our story? We find that things get disrupted. God redirects our paths He begins to shape and move us from where we are to where we need to be. John's primary message is that when we look around, there is something seriously wrong. There is something wrong both in our living and in our relationships to God and to one another. John was trying to stir it. If you will, John's message was one of shock and awe. His outward appearance, everything that he did, was suggesting that something has got to change, that God was speaking a new kind of message. And I wonder for all of us, in our prosperity and in our contentment, are we aware of God's presence? Are we ready to be disrupted at the same level when John came into their lives? And if you listen, John had two different audiences that began to develop as he shared this message. There were those that came and heard John and understood that something had to change. And they came to John and said, John, what must we do to get back to the paths that for which we were called? And John said, you must repent. There was also another audience that kind of stood off to the side that began to watch. And John began to interact with them. And he called them, you brood of vipers, who called you to repentance? John's message was often confrontational. Let me ask you about your interacting with the gospel. Do you ever find the gospel confrontational? Or do you like to skip over those verses? Those verses that might talk about your dedication, your commitment, your giving, your sharing, your relationship to God. Do we skip over that and say, we don't want to hear that, John? We want to hear the stories about grace for everybody, regardless of what we do. It shouldn't depend on our attitudes and actions, should it? John, can't we silence this crazy prophet? The message of John is one of confrontation. When you allow those interruptions of God into your life, it will confront some deeply held beliefs. And shouldn't that be the way it is? When the kingdom of God comes into our lives, it should be different. It should be radically different than what we're used to. It should call us to something higher, something more noble. This Christmas, as you gather around the trees and you gather around your nativity, are you ready to be confronted with the truth? The second thing that happens is John shatters our illusions. You see, the people of Jerusalem had fallen into habits. They had set up a hierarchy of the priests and the prophets and the temple, and all you had to do is go through these rituals. But John comes baptizing in the Jordan and said, we can change our lives here and now. Our illusions about who we are and about what we can become. So often we hear from people that things that we can't do or we're not able to do. And yet John steps into our world and says, it's time to do it. I love this passage by Richard Rohr, who once said, before the truth will set you free, it tends to make you miserable. When you find that you can do, that God is calling you to something higher, something better, it often will challenge you and will hurt and will often scare the bejeebers out of you. And yet God is taking those steps with you. John was confrontational. He was in your face. The change for you begins today. And if you're not ready, then oftentimes we'll slide right back to those illusions that God is contained within these four walls. God is going to meet you at your workplace. God's going to meet you at where you gather with your family. And God's going to meet you with the people that you call friends. Each of those will be opportunities for you to grow. Is John speaking to you about the path that you're on? Are you ready for those changes that have got to come? But here's the good news. This is why John is so critical for us today, because John allows those interruptions to open us to new possibilities. John shakes the status quo. John shakes the glass that is filled with water and allows it to slip over and recognize that there are new possibilities, new potential, new priorities. Every Christmas, we kind of go through this routine about family and friends, about getting back to what's really essential. Every Christmas, we gather and we sing those beautiful songs and the colors begin to come out and there's peace on earth and we sing joy to the world and we gather in a spirit of community and of gratitude. John allows that to begin to happen. John is plowing the ground, allowing the seeds that are about to come into our lives. And so I wanted to ask you this morning, are you prepared to be confronted? Do you want to be confronted, or are you just going to skip over right to the birth narrative? Are you ready to allow those new possibilities to take place? Are you allowing those preconceived ideas, those illusions of how faith and life work, to begin to break down and allow God into your lives? John comes with a simple message. There is a sickness that is rampant in the land. There's a sickness, there's an illness. There's a sense of narcissism, a sense of self-centeredness about keeping things under control. He said, there's a sickness and there's a cure that's got to happen. He said, take your sin seriously. So often we hear from people that just say, well, God grades on a curve. And so we often look and say, well, at least I'm not as bad as that person is. John comes and calls everyone to repentance. And repentance isn't just about believing that you'll never do it again. It's about changing your whole lifestyle, your worldview. But John prepares the way. John prepares and allows us the opportunity to begin to grow. And so this morning, we're going to have an opportunity. And as you come forward for communion and you share that sacrament, understand that Jesus is allowing you to grow and become something totally different. He's trying to disrupt your lives so much that you begin to rethink the path that you're on. And allow him to walk with you. This morning, allow that disruption. Welcome that disruption. Welcome it into your lives so that new things can begin to take birth. As we gather this morning for communion, allow God and John to prepare the way. Let us pray. Almighty God, we give you thanks this morning. We thank you for John and for his message. We ask, oh God, that it challenge us and it convicts us, that it allows us to step out and to do new and wonderful things. Father, we give thanks for this church, for its witness, for its willingness to reach out to new people and to new friends across the globe. And we pray, oh God, that you allow us to see the world through your eyes and to walk with Christ, for it's in his name we pray. Amen.